Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Brothers and sisters, welcome back. Today we are using The Lion King. Now, some of you saw the original version back in 1994, the animated version. You may have been fortunate to see The Lion King on Broadway, or the new version that was released in 2019 starring Beyonce. But whichever version you saw, it's all the same story. A young lion by the name of Simba is trying to find his place in the circle of life. Where does he fit in? And yet, Simba starts off and he's a little arrogant because he knows one day he's going to be king. And the story of Simba is so similar to a biblical story about a young man by the name of Joseph. When you look in the Word of God, the story of Joseph is one of the most amazing stories in the Old or New Testament. It's about a man who was willing to live out his faith his entire life. So let's go ahead and get started. Over in Genesis chapter 37, we're going to pick it up in verses 1 through 10. Jacob lived in a land where his father has stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made an ornate robe for him. When the brothers saw that the father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to them. Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around me and bowed down to it." His brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" Now, God had given Joseph these dreams. God was working powerfully in Joseph's life. However, Joseph wasn't mature enough to know the incredible responsibility that God had laid on his shoulders. And we see here that Joseph, he was 17. He was immature. He was a kid. And he was like, "Hey, I had a dream." First of all, Joseph was the favorite son, note the parents, you got more than one child. You don't want to make it clear who is the favorite child. Problem number one. And number two, Joseph kept having these same conversations with the brothers. "Hey, I'm going to rule over you. First time, we don't like you, Joseph." But Joseph, being immature, comes back. "Hey, I'm not just going to rule over you. I'm going to rule over mom and dad as well." And then the father rebuked him. Although Joseph had his faults, one thing we understand about him, he was able to triumph. He had an amazing life of faith. And as you read his account, and it started in Genesis 37, and you go all the way through to Genesis 50, you never see Joseph complaining or compromising. Now, can that be said about us? That no matter how many hardships or difficulties we go through, there was no complaining or compromise. And, you know, Joseph loved God, and he wanted everybody to know he was a man of God. Now, his father didn't do a good job with the family. There were some issues in Jacob's life. And let's talk about, now, Jacob was one type of father. Mufasa was another type of father. Mufasa supported his son, set a great example for his son. Incredible job, that character, Mufasa. Jacob had other things going on. You know, we talked about the fact that he wasn't wise in the way he made it clear that Joseph was a favorite, because he had given Joseph this colorful, ornate robe. And really, the research says the robe was worn by wealthy men, those type of robes, who didn't do work. Well, you got all these brothers out in the field working, and you are over them as their supervisor. That is not going to work, especially when you are a younger brother. So Joseph just wasn't smart with the family dynamics, and Jacob didn't set him up to win. Jacob had issues as a young man. He had run away from a home because he had tried to steal his brother's blessing. So his brother hated him. Jacob had to run away. He went away. He was living with his uncle, fell in love with his first cousin, and then married a cousin that wasn't the one he fell in love with, but he ended up marrying two women that were sisters and his cousins. Then after that, he took two more concubines in, which became his mistresses. So all of these women, four women and Jacob, and as a result, there were 12 sons and a daughter, 13 children from these five people. And it was chaos. It was one big, great, messed up family. But out of that big mess, Joseph came through. I think a lesson that we need to look at here, there are times we can make a mess in our lives. There are times we make poor decisions. But when God has a plan for our life, even our poor, messed up decisions will not stop what God is able to do. You know, God's word is for everyone. I don't know where you are today with your family. I don't know where you are today with your family dynamic. But let me tell you this. Your messed up family, past, present, or future, does not mean God has forsaken you or that some cloud has come over you that will never pass. God works in and through difficult and messed up families. All of us could find reasons as to why we can't do great things for God. Many of us, when we have stood up and said, I'm ready to live for God, somebody came in and tried to undermine us and cripple our faith. And there are some of us today, we've been sidelined because of hurt. Hurt from our brothers, hurt from our sisters. And you know, in a few moments, Dr. Eddie's going to pick it up. But Joseph's family hated him so much, they wanted to kill him, and they eventually sold him into slavery. You know, sometimes your family will sell you out. But what is the lesson we learn when we look at the life of Joseph? He loved God. God had put something on his heart. What has God put on your heart to do for him? How is God rearranging areas of your life so that you can be used for him? Yep, a lot of drama. Yep, Jacob had all these women. And to my brothers and men out there who say, well, I can manage more than one woman, you cannot find one biblical example of where it went well. There are a number of men in the Bible who had multiple relationships with women, had children with these women, but you cannot find one biblical example where they all lived happily ever after. And in fact, I'll leave you with this. The more baby mamas, the more drama. The more people we bring in, and when we don't do it God's way, yes, God allowed these men to make these decisions, but that wasn't necessarily God's plan. And a lesson we learned from Jacob's life is sometimes God will allow us to make decisions where we have to suffer the consequences of the decisions we make. But even through it all, God used that messed up family those guys, those brothers, ended up becoming the patriarchs of the Hebrew nation. God used Jacob. God used them because out of all the peoples on the planet, there was a willingness to do God's will. I don't care how much you've blown it. These last 2 years, some of us have done stuff we never thought we would do. Some of us have compromised in ways we had no business compromising. The story isn't over yet. Is there a willingness in your heart to do God's will? You know, I'll tell you this. If you have visited New York City back in the late 80s, early 90s, and sat in a room with a bunch of young guys, and if you had asked which one of these guys would probably lead in an incredible way in the future, I would not have made the cut. I was immature. I was insecure. I was lustful. I was selfish. The one thing I had going for me, there was something in my heart that wasn't going to quit. I had a willingness to do God's will. So never allow circumstances to derail what God has given you to do. Now, sometimes in our immaturity, we try to walk away and we try to forget everything that we have been taught. But somehow God's Spirit keeps reminding us there is a plan. Even when we have family members or church members who hurt us and try to derail what God has in store, no one and nothing can stop God's plan. We're going to watch a clip right now that many of you are familiar with. We're going to see what happens with Simba. And afterwards, Dr. Jackson is going to come up and share some thoughts as he finishes out the sermon.
Simba, what have you done?
It was a stampede. He tries to save me. It was an accident. I didn't mean for it to...
Of course you didn't. No one ever means for these things to happen. But the king is dead. And if it weren't for you, he'd still be alive. Your father had such hopes for you, gave you so many chances. And this is how you repay him.
I didn't know.
Oh, what will your mother think? A son who causes his father's death. A boy who kills a king.
What am I gonna do?
Run. Run away, Simba. Run away. And never return.
You can see Simba is starting to go through it. Simba is in the pits. Him and Joseph are now in a place where they never thought they would be. They're sitting there and thinking to themselves, what has just happened? Am I really in reality? Can somebody pull me out of the matrix? I know my family has just not thrown me to the curb. How would you feel? Put it in the chat. How would you feel if your family tried to kill you, then sold you off into slavery? Your uncle made you feel like you were the one who killed your father. I would tell you how you would feel. You would feel a certain type of way. You would have sadness, anger, discouragement, disillusionment, disgust. That is what Joseph was feeling. That's what Simba was feeling. Look at it from Joseph's point of view. How did I even get here to start with? My father told me to go with my brothers. In verse 14, he said, go be with your brothers. Joseph just knows that his father sent him. He's looking at it like, man, he set me up. So both of their families, Joseph's family, Simba's family, have thrown them out, have kicked them to the curb. And as we continue in the journey with Joseph, Joseph has decided, I'm moving on. I am going to continue my journey. Now, we don't have time here today to like go through every single story of Joseph's life. And it's one that is kind of long, as Mike alluded to. But in summary, Joseph was accused by Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned by Potiphar. And then he was forgotten by the cupbearer. But oh my goodness, God worked. God worked in his life and lifted him up to be the second in command of all of Egypt. So my man, Yosef in Hebrew, he's moving on, but he's feeling a certain type of way deep in his heart. He's had some bitterness deep in his heart because of what he has been through. Let's look at Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41, starting in verse 51. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." So Joseph remained faithful during those times. He stayed engaged with God. But he was bitter. Look at his heart. Look at his feelings. He says, "I want to forget my family. I want to forget my father's household. They did me dirty." The question is, what happens when God gives us the assignment? What do we do with our time? You see, Joseph was given the assignment when he was 17 years old that he was going to lead the land of Israel. But man, he had to go through some stuff. All those accounts of him being in prison and forgotten and taken advantage of. Why would God let him go through all of that if God had told him he was going to lead his people? You see, Joseph had to get some character things refined. Mike mentioned some of those characters of immaturity. And I would like to add to, Joseph needed to work out his anger. He also needed to work out the bitterness in his heart that he was feeling for his family. So we have to be patient with God's timing. God's timing is ultimate. A lot of the times we want to, you know, work our network and, you know, we're networking for our necks and we're tapping and we're planting seeds and we want the network to instantly respond. Come support my mission right now. Joseph probably thought, why can I not lead right now? Why am I in this dungeon? It's God's timing. Sometimes God will put us in that painful situation because we need to get ready for what God has in store for us. We need to get our character straightened out. And as we are working through our heart and the pain and suffering is going on, we have to stay faithful to God. God put Joseph in time out. He put him in time out so Joseph can get his stuff squared away. The anger, the immaturity, and the bitterness in his heart. You know, I had this same story of Joseph. When I, about 5 years ago, I started helping lead the Mosaic Ministry, and I was doing ministry and partnering with Ricardo and Ray Edwards. And one evening after midweek, we were having a leadership meeting with Mike and Angel. And the statement was made that, hey, you know, only medical people can really be in Mosaic Ministry. I was like, no, that ain't. We trying to build this ship. I got friends of all different sorts, not just in the medical ministry. What is this talk about? Only medical people. Man, I felt a certain type of way. Boy, I was hot, man. I got in my car, peeled out the parking lot. Man, Mike called me the next morning and was like, "Jackson, are you okay?" And I said, "Mike, I am not okay. I am fit to be tied about y'all saying only medical people can be in Mosaic." So I'm like, I'm going to talk to Ray about it, man. Ray, me and Ray, we're trying to build a ministry. Man, that brother Ray discipled me with the one another scripture says, "Well, brother, is it your thing or is it God's thing?" I'm like, "Ray, that's not what I want to hear, man. We're trying to build ministry. We're trying to launch small groups together. Come on, bro." But he was like, "Nah." So if I had not worked through my stuff, if I had not worked through my feeling a certain type of way, starting with humility, I had to emerge from that situation with faith. I had to go study out humility. I had to go study out, where do I receive the things that I get? From heaven, from God. It tells us that in John chapter 3. Then I had to move forward and have a conversation with Mike and Angel. And as I humbled myself and expressed myself and they expressed themselves, we worked it out, but we had a conversation. I got the other side of the story. And lastly, I had to allow God to empower me, to move me forward, to be able to engage the plan that God had for my life. And if I had not done that, I would not be here right now speaking for Jesus. You know, I tried to run away from my calling. Simba tried to run away from his issues with conflict and disillusionment and pain. Joseph was trying to figure out, where do I go? You know, we have all been hurt. Joseph was like, dude, my family just tried to kill me. They threw me out. I don't want anything else to do with them. Man, my own dad tried to set me up. It was his fault. He ain't even come look for me. I haven't heard from him. You know, we all have had family of origin issues. Mike mentioned it. The dynamics in the family were crazy with what Jacob had set up. We have parents that we are mad at. We got siblings that we haven't spoken to. Maybe we even have on-the-job issues where our boss is picking at us and we think we can't advance because of that. Mike alluded to church hurt. He said that to me. She didn't let me do that. I don't like the way they're doing this, and I feel a certain type of way. You know, we all have had that. And none of us want to go through that, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Joseph and Simba, what they didn't have is the other side of the story. You see, because Jacob was yearning for his son. His heart was heavy for Joseph. Simba, he did not know that Scar was manipulating him and confusing him and accusing him of a wrongdoing that he had nothing to do with. You know, we have been hurt, and we don't want to be hurt again. We have this mindset that I'm not going to put my heart out there anymore. I'm feeling a certain type of way. I'm getting ready to move on. Maybe it's we don't like the process of engaging and partnering with God to do a God-sized assignment. We feel overwhelmed because we can't see how it's going to happen, so you don't feel right about it. We've all been hurt. But when we have that mindset of I'm done, I'm fit to be tied, hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. I ain't letting you do that again. I'm getting up out of here. And we turn our back. And we're really turning our back on God. And we're saying, God, I am disengaging with the plan that you have for my life. How many punches can we take before we totally just quit? You know, Joseph did not allow his circumstances to paralyze him, to stay in his feelings. Through all the pain and suffering that he was going through, Joseph remained faithful. He still needed to work on some things deep in his heart, but he wasn't paralyzed. Joseph could have said, listen, I ain't interpreting no more dreams. Last time I interpreted dreams, I got thrown in a pit. I got sold off into slavery. Joseph didn't do that. When he got into jail, in the prison, people wanted dreams interpreted. He was right there to serve them. And his heart to kind of get back out there and start interpreting dreams allowed Pharaoh to recognize him. So Joseph wasn't paralyzed. And the way that he worked through that situation was taking up the agenda of God and partnering with God and God's plan. Joseph was the Bahor. What do I mean by Bahor? Bahor is this Jewish Hebrew term that means firstborn. Now, it can mean firstborn from a biological standpoint. It can mean firstborn of who is the sibling that's going to lead the rest of the family. Usually the Bahor is going to get a double portion, a double inheritance from their father. And the Bahor is also the one that's going to take up the agenda, to take up the convictions of the parents, of the father. So Joseph was the Bahor. Even though he was the second youngest, he was the one that Jacob saw. Simba was the Bahor as well for Mustafa. And so what we're seeing is Joseph is the next one. Hey, let's go back and let's look at who were the Bahors in the beginning of God's story. Abraham, he was the Bahor. Isaac, he was the Bahor, not firstborn, but he took up God's mantle. And then we come to Jacob. Mike's already talked about Jacob and how messed up he was. So here we have some the fathers, the patriarchs of the faith, powerful spiritual men, and they were just jacked up and messed up. So much stuff they had to work through, but God still used them. So who was up next? Joseph, to lead the nation of Israel. Simba, to lead Pride Rock. So how does the Bahor show true love to the father? The child takes up the parent's agenda. That is how a son, a daughter, whoever wants to show true love to their father, takes up the father's agenda. And that's what Joseph had to work through and do. That's what Simba had to work through and do as well. God is calling us to partner with him, to be his Bahor, to take up his agenda, to take care of the mumser. We talked about that last week, the disenfranchised, the alien, the orphan, the widow, the people that are on the fringes. Nobody wants to deal with this group, whether we're talking about physically or spiritually. But here's our challenge. A lot of the times we're feeling a certain type of way about an issue. We're feeling a certain type of way about a person. So for us, who or what do you have an issue with? What has you fit to be tied, as my older, mature folks would say? Maybe it's, man, the holding pattern that we have been in over the past 2 years, I know I feel a certain type of way about that. I had plans. I had a game plan of how I wanted to do things in my life. Not for the past 2 years. What about the reconciliation of a loved one that has harmed us? What about reaching out to your best friend, but now y'all are not talking? What about the heart of maybe you've been called to develop a business or develop a nonprofit in Adamsville in the neighborhood to serve the people, but you're like, I ain't feeling all that. What about the next small group leader to create a small group that mobilizes the next generation, or maybe to launch out a church and it just doesn't feel right? You know, we have to be able to work through this. It's important that we work through the way that we feel. When we're feeling a certain type of way, we can't stay there because it will paralyze us. It will prevent God from mobilizing us to invest in the next generation. Amen. So turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. So Joseph has been through all the pain, all the suffering. Pharaoh has adopted him like a son, has given him a wife. He's had the children that we talked about earlier. You would think everything is great. But Joseph still had bitterness. There's an episode in there where the brothers come to Joseph because of the famine. They need food. But Joseph doesn't reveal himself directly out of the gate. He plays a little game of deception with this silver goblet, trying to accuse one of his brothers, Benjamin, of stealing it. So that doesn't sound like somebody that's totally gotten over everything. But Joseph saw his brother Benjamin, and Benjamin was the other son of Rachel, Rachel. And those two were meant to be together. They were inseparable. And when Joseph saw his brother, he knew he needed to let things go and work through his feelings. And there was a reason why. This is the reason why we have to work through our feelings. Genesis chapter 45, verse 5. And now, do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. You see, Joseph used his gifts. He had a gift of leadership. He used his network that he tapped into with Pharaoh to save many lives. Many people would have died of famine if Joseph would not have partnered with God. Brothers and sisters, we are in some powerful positions of influence within our church. We have the ability to affect many different areas in this community, just like Joseph and just like Simba. We have to work through our feelings and work through our baggage to be able to use our gifts and our network, our treasures, to save lives. The major point that I have for you this morning is we must allow God to empower us to save lives. Amen. There is purpose in the pain. Repeat after me. There is purpose in the pain. There is purpose in the pain. Everyone has to work through our feelings so that we can embrace what God is calling us to do, to partner with Him to save this world, to win the world back to God. You know, we had an amazing conversation with an incredible couple over July 4th, Jonathan and Tay Robinson. As many of you know, in the fellowship, Jonathan is my dude, man. And Tay, his wife, is incredible. Second year resident. Congratulations, Tay. And so Tay and Jonathan were feeling a certain type of way. And they shared that with Tasha and I. They sat down and they said, you know what? I'm not feeling good about this church launch business. What's really going on? I'm a little confused. Give me some more information.
Did you say that? My apologies. I couldn't hear what you said.
Well, that's my little cool watch that's going off. Hopefully that won't happen again. But Jonathan and Tay, they got gut level honest with us. And one of the things I love about them, they will always come and talk to us about how they are feeling. So we had an incredible conversation. It was absolutely amazing. There was humility on both sides. Now, we got a little passionate and we got a little hot, but we were able to talk through it and listen to one another. Jonathan and Tay were faithful. They said, we know that God can do it. We know that God can launch a church. And then we had the conversation. And then Jonathan and Tay said, you know what? I feel so much better now that we've talked through this. And wherever you go, Ed, whatever God decides to do, we are going to go with you, whatever it looks like. And I was like, praise God. That is what the Father is looking for. So they got gut level honest and God blessed it. So what has you fit to be tied? What has you paralyzed with an inability to work through your feelings to be able to partner with God? So I have three practicals for you to be able to work through the baggage. So write this one down, write this one down. Emerge with faith. Emerge with faith. We have to have the faith like Joseph. We have to have that heart to want to get into our scriptures, to pray, to get advice, to meditate on the situation. For me, in the story I share with y'all, I had to study out humility. I had to study out who is really giving me the things that I need. We have to emerge with faith. The next one, write this one down. Engage with conversation. We cannot be afraid of the potential conflict. We have to get the other side of the story. Quite honestly, that's what Jonathan and Tay needed. Once we kind of gave them the other side of the story, they were like, we feel so much better. This is incredible. But we can't run from conflict. We can't run from the fact that sometimes we may agree to disagree, but we have to move forward united to save lives. Write this one down. The next one. Allow God to empower us to use our gifts, to use our networks, to be able to save lives. How are you doing that on the job? Are you inviting people into your home for a meal? Are you inviting people for coffee to share your life with them? Are you using your nonprofit to be able to help the disenfranchised? We have to save lives. And the only way that happens if we allow God to empower us. You know, I just used the core phases of our mobilized leadership development group. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to mobilize us to save lives. Amen. You know, that's what Mustafa wanted for Simba. He wanted to mobilize Simba to get him back to Pride Rock. Take a look at this clip.
Look closer. You see? He lives in you.
Simba.
Dad?
Simba. You must take your place in the circle of life.
I can't.
You must remember who you are, the one true king.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to be like you.
As king, I was most proud of one thing, having you as my son.
That was a long time ago.
No, Simba. That is forever.
Please, don't leave me again.
I never left you, and never will. Remember who you are. Remember.
And so, I ask again, who are you?
I am Simba, son of Mufasa.
So that is amazing. I love that father-son interaction. That's the father speaking to the Bahor and reminding him, remember who you are. Take your rightful place in the circle of life. You were destined to do this. And that's what God is telling us. Our loving Father, He has always been with us. He has never left us. He will give us challenges, but trust me, there is purpose in the pain. Brothers and sisters, what would it look like for us to work through our baggage, to work through how we feel, to be able to partner with God? To be able to embrace the calling that God has for us to be able to save lives, just like Jesus did for us. Now, Jesus was feeling a certain type of way in the garden in Matthew chapter 26. He did not want to deal with that cup. He said, Father, may you take it away. But Jesus worked through his feelings. He submitted. And he says, not my will, but your will, Father. And that is the circle of life. where God himself gives us him as the Father. Then he gives us the Son, and the Son decides to save us. And then we have the opportunity to partner with the Son to save as many people as possible and bring them back to God. And that, my friends, is the circle of life.
From that day we arrive on the planet and blinking step into the sun, there's more to see than can ever be seen, more to do than can ever be done. There's far too much to take in here, more to find than can ever be found. By the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky, keeps great and small on the endless round. It's the circle of life, and it moves us all through despair and hope, through faith.
Let's go to God in prayer for our communion. Holy Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you, God, to remind us, Father, that we all have baggage. We all have feelings that need to be worked through, that come from a family of origin, dynamic stuff, God, that you needed us to be a part of so that you can prepare our character to be like your Son, to partner with your Son, to save lives. Father, sometimes we have no idea what you are doing, but I pray that we will trust in you, God, trusting you in a powerful way so that we can win the world back to you. In your holy Son's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.